what I want to share with you tonight, real brief. How many of you really want to know God's plan for your life? Amen. I know I do. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And when you have it, say amen. One of the first things you have to do, this is number one, if you're taking notes. Number one, when you're searching God's plan for your life, first of all, you have to walk with God. You can't walk with something else. You can't walk in mysticism. You can't walk in looking for something else to kind of give you peace. You have to walk with God. Amen? So number one, walk with God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reads this way. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You have to walk with God. Now, walking with God, there's going to be some obstacles that come your way. There's going to be some detours in your life. There's going to be some things that try to get you off that path. But the more you walk with God and you lean not on your own understanding, but you acknowledge him. That's what Melissa was just prophesying to you guys. Just praise him, acknowledge him, praise him, thank him. Because you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know the thing that you've been praying for, when it's actually going to manifest. But if you stay in an attitude of gratitude towards God for who he is, it will just show up when you least expect it. Amen? Acknowledge him. Walk with him. Number two, surrender your will to his. Surrender your will. Since we are people that like to make things happen based on our knowledge and based on what we know, our gift and our talents, sometimes we have a tendency to try to force some things to happen. Hello, somebody. How many of you? Well, no, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, because truth be told, we all try to do it. Oh, you're going to have a big old house, and you start looking for houses. You're going to have a nice truck. I'm still waiting, Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, you just go and look for a truck, which reminds me when I went to go have my oil change one time. I was driving one of those Scions, TC Scions, a while back. And I was telling my wife, I said, I can't be driving around in this. I'm doing construction. I pull up in this little toy car. I need a truck. She says, well, you're going to keep this one for what? Wisdom speaks. Wisdom speaks. I said, okay, so we kept it for about 6 months. After the 6 months, traded it in and got me a truck. Got me a Toyota truck. Real nice. But it wasn't the high, you know, 4x4s. It was a nice truck, Toyota truck. So I'm driving around with it. It's real nice. We got real good interest on it. Everything was perfect. Payments were perfect. Driving around. And one day I just said, I want a bigger truck. I want those big old tires. Now, you know, when you go in, you know, Red McCombs, or you go to any of those dealerships, they have those trucks, or they have the vehicles that are on the showroom floor that are not outside, but they're on the showroom floor. Well, I walk in, you know me, I try to be prophetic about everything, so I walk in, I'm waiting on my truck to get done for the oil change, and I see this black Tundra, same year as mine, but it's a black one, and it has big old tires and nice rims, and I said, ooh, I want that. What I was really saying is I want those tires and those rims. See, I didn't seek counsel. Because I wanted it, I got it. I shouldn't have did it, I'm sorry. Because then I lost it. Because I couldn't afford it. I said, wait a minute, God. Wait, I thought I was blessed and highly favored. He says, every time you try to force some things that I didn't open for you, it's going to shut on you. Well, I learned the hard way. Didn't I cry, babe, when they took it? You know what I mean? I try to get very prophetic with vehicles and stuff. It was a black Tundra. Black represents the prophetic of God, and every vehicle that I own has a female name to it. I always name all of my vehicles. And so this was, since it was black, it was prophetic. I said, that's Deborah. Deborah, she was a prophetess that knows how to get things done. So I said, that's Deborah. Well, Deborah got taken from me because I did some things on my own. I shouldn't have done it. How many of you have done that? You force something. And every time you force something, you're going to pay for it. It may not be right away, but when it comes, you'll know exactly why it came. So we have to know to surrender our will to God's will. And you'll know when you truly surrender your will to God is because your desires change. It's no longer about what you want. God, what do you want from me? God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? Lord, where do you want me to be? Position me where you want me to be positioned at. You understand? Things begin to change. So you have to surrender your will. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you're taking notes, write it down. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 out of Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That right there in Romans 12 will tell you exactly what you need to do. Surrender your fleshly desires. Surrender it. Give yourself as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. I used to have a preacher, he used to tell me back in the day, he said, son, you need to learn how to go die daily on that altar. I used to think, how in the world does that happen? How do you die daily? I didn't understand it. I had just gotten saved. I didn't know what that meant. Boy, did I find out later. That meant you get broken before the Lord. And you're so broken that he just lets everything of him just come right upon you. Say, even though you're broken, even though you're going through, my grace is sufficient. And you begin to experience his mercy. I said, Lord, now I know what this is like, that we begin to die of ourselves daily, putting away all these things that I want to go after. I want to go after what your will is. It took me a long time, and I'm still dying daily. Amen. Someone, same preacher said, well, after you die daily, you're going to learn how to start living for God and not for yourself. I said, okay, well, I just die daily, then don't live for myself, but live for God. Then I started getting so religious, that was earthly no good. I started getting so religious that people would come around me, ooh, I could sense you got this issue, you got some sinning. I wouldn't judge them, but I could sense it. And so we'd get talking, then I would go right to that thing that I was discerning. So people didn't want to talk to us. Tell them the truth, baby. Yeah, people didn't even want to come to our house. They didn't want to come and show up and just fellowship with us because they said that you portray yourself to be too holy. I said, Lord, here I am. I'm dying daily. I'm seeking after your will. I'm seeking after what's right. I'm trying to do everything that you're telling me to do. But then the people that are coming that just so we can fellowship, they don't want to be with us. He says, because what you're doing is because you're discerning so much, you think you have to address what you discern. Or you think because you see something and hear something that you have to address it. Learn to hear me guide you. The more you spend time with God, you're going to discern and you're going to see. But that doesn't mean that's what you speak. I said, ooh, this is hard, God. I don't understand all this. But I had to have my body as a living sacrifice and begin to look and follow after him. So surrender your will to God. Number three, obey God's will. Obey his command. Obey God's will. Obey his command. Now, how many of you have tried to live out the Ten Commandments to your fullest? There should be some hands raised in here. We are a church. I try to live without telling a lie. I try to live without committing adultery. Baby, no, I'm living. No, I'm not committing. These are examples. Okay. Not going to covet my neighbor. Right? Thou shalt not kill. Right? Haven't killed anybody. Thought of it, but haven't. Come on now. You know when you're driving down the street and someone cuts you off? Get him, God. Just kill him. I was kidding. You know, there's some times that we get angry, we say some things. Can you imagine if God listened to everything that came out of our mouth and did exactly what we asked? I don't think anybody would be on this earth. Somebody on your row has made you mad. Somebody in your home has made you mad. Oh, Lord. This is a good message. Just as good. Somebody in your church has made you really mad. And you maybe have thought some things. And what if God said, every thought that you have, I will do. Well, I tell you what, we got to be real careful what we're thinking. We have to renew our mind. To know God's will is to obey God's will and obey His commands. What is the will of God? Be in His word. Be in prayer. And when He commands of you to do something, do it immediately. Immediately. A delayed obedience is disobedience. Obey. If I tell my son to go and do something and he don't do it for a couple of hours, he's in trouble. Didn't I tell you to vacuum the downstairs? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Get down there and do it right now. Not later, right now. Right? Examples. Because we have some children nowadays, and adults as well. I don't know where this crept in from, but we also have adults that have a tendency just to get lazy. They don't want to do it. I'm tired. But Melissa said something very important. She said, take care of what you got. Take care of what you have. Because then He'll give you more. Are you a good steward? Be a good steward of what God has given you. Amen? Obey His command. Obey His will. Number four. Who are your advisors? Who are your advisors? Seek godly counsel. Number four. Who are your advisors? Seek godly counsel. Many times as you continue on in life or you're trying to figure out what God has for you, but if you continue to go around people that have a tendency to do what they want to do and you listen to their counsel, be careful. Who you're listening to is going to be the one that's going to get you to a place that you need to be or is going to keep you from the place that you should be. Seek godly counsel. Who are you listening to? Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. They perish. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Isn't that beautiful? But the problem is if we don't know how to trust people, if we don't know how to trust people, then we won't listen to godly counsel. So the renewing of your mind must take place. Your heart must be renewed. You must die daily. You must get rid of the selfish desires and go after God's desires. When He places authority in your life and He places godly counsel in your life, listen. Don't disobey by delaying it. If you have a spirit of procrastination, I'm not even going to call it a spirit, but many of us, because we're so spiritual, say everything is a spirit. Procrastination is a learned behavior. If you procrastinate, it's because you've done it for so long, you continue to do it, and no one said anything otherwise to you, so you continued on. If God tells you to do something, do it immediately. Immediately. Don't wait. Listen to godly counsel. Put to use what God has given you, and you shall see the perfect will of God. Now, the counsel is going to come in different forms. How many of you have someone that you can talk to and you know that will speak truth into your life? Amen. That's good. For those that don't, find someone. Find someone that will tell you the truth, not what you want to hear. Oh, Lord, I'm already preaching in here. I'm telling you. If you always go around people that tell you what you want to hear, you're never going to grow. If you always need a pat on the back because you need to feel good, you're not growing. You're staying as a child. Here's proof in it. Every time my granddaughter does something good and funny, I praise her for it. But when she gets to walking and starts getting into some mess and start doing some things she shouldn't be doing, that's not going to be praise. That's going to be correction. Amen? Because what was once praise and cute to encourage her to go after and walk and do some things will be good. But the next thing is, if she's going to go into an area that's going to be detrimental to her, it's going to harm her, we have to bring correction so she knows she doesn't go with it, right? As a child, that's what God is doing with us. If he's going to constantly give you praise and do good, then you're not growing. You're being dependent just on him for everything. We have to grow. We have to grow. And when we seek counsel, we need someone that's going to tell us the truth. You can get mad all you want when the truth comes, because sometimes the truth hurts. Oh, Lord, we don't want to hear this message today. If you seek counsel that is godly, you can take it with a grain of salt and it'll be good for you. We're getting ready to eat all this wonderful food out there, and I smelt some hamburger meat that was made for taco seasoning and taco sauce. But if you don't put any salt in that meat, it's bland. But the moment you put salt, what it does, it enhances all the other seasonings that were put in there, but it didn't extract it. Hear me. Salt makes the extraction of the things that are good that come together to culminate for his goodness. That's why he says we're the salt of the earth. Why are we the salt of the earth? Because we extract from people to bring to him the goodness of who they really are. How do we do that? By telling them the truth. His truth. His good news. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good. I know that was good. Wasn't that good, Pastor? That was good. Keep on. Off camera. Keep on. Thank you, sir. Amen. Ain't nobody shouting me down. It's okay. Hallelujah. Number five. Pay attention to your passions and compassion. Pay attention to your passion and compassion. I say this because many times we go through life walking as a Christian and we don't even know what our calling is. We don't even know what our ministry is. Much less what we're supposed to be doing, serving in the kingdom. If you do know, I'm telling you this right now, you're wealthy in the kingdom of God because you have vision, purpose, and you're walking in that direction. If you do not know, you're walking around ambiguously not knowing what to do and how to serve God. Coming to church does not serve God. That's for you to grow. That's for you to seek counsel. That's for you to continue to be challenged in some areas. Hello? The church, oh my God, I'm just going to have to say it, Josh. The church isn't for you to come in and think everything's going to be great. We have a loving family. We love each other so much, and nobody's ever going to offend me. Before you leave tonight, somebody may get offended. That's what the enemy comes to do. But what it does is shows you there's something still deep inside of you that needs to be addressed. If someone didn't say hi to you coming down the parking lot as you were walking, you wave, but they didn't see you, but you thought that they saw you, and you get upset because they didn't wave back to you. Hey, sister! I can't believe sister didn't even wave back at me. She thinks she's all that in the baggage. Look at her walking over there like that. Look. For a minute, you will get all excited to wave at them and say hi to them, but now you're all upset and mad because rejection and abandonment has set in. Like, oh, I knew I was getting ready to leave this church anyhow. They're just rude here. They just go to the motion. Kind of petty, right? It's kind of petty, but we do it. We do it. You didn't get my text or my email. I sent it to you about 2 weeks ago, and you still haven't responded. I'm still waiting. You're going to wait a long time, because if I didn't see it 2 weeks ago, then I ain't going to see it anytime soon. I overlooked it, and you all mad at Pastor. Pastor, I had something to share with you. It was very important, and you didn't get back with me, and I had to make a decision on my own. Okay. Kind of trivial, right? But it happens. And it's not because the individual can't make decisions. It's because the individual has an issue with rejection and abandonment. That when something presents itself to them, they haven't really died to that area of their life. They keep going back to it. What I was talking about on Sunday is open up the east window. The east window represents your new day. If you're not facing your new day, then you're always looking at your past. And you'll miss out on opportunities. Your past is not going to do anything for you. But your future has everything to do with your destiny. Your past has helped you get to where you're at today. And if you don't learn from it, your tomorrow will be the same as today. You get stuck like Chuck. So you're not Chuck. And if you're a Chuck in here, I'm just giving an example. Don't get offended and send me an email or say, Pastor, why are you talking about me? I ain't stuck. Again, offense. Okay? If you know what your passion is, that's what creates. That's where everything that God has given you begins to come to life. So if you have passion to be with underprivileged children, you have a heart for that and you want to help them, or you want to be with the homeless, you want to help the homeless, that's what God has called you to do. It's a gift and he's given you. He's given you that compassion to be with them. Now, I didn't know I had compassion to be out there in Africa. I did not know it. I desired to go because the Lord said, you're going to go. Okay. I don't know what to expect when I get there. But when I got there, all I could do was cry. That's it. All I could do was just cry. I call my wife all the time, just crying on the phone. Because my heart was compassionate for them. And when I left there, I said, I left home. I can't wait to get back there. My passion is to help people. My passion is to encourage people. My passion is to not let people stay where they're at, but to get them to the next level. That's where my passion is. The compassion that I had while I was there is to not look at people in a derogatory way or in a way that I didn't understand through my ignorance, but to look at them and say, God can help you. God can help you with this, but let me just help you right now. What was that? All God was just showing me. What I've placed inside of you, your passion and compassion, is for others. How many of you desire it? And don't tell me, I want to go, Pastor. You get out there. Woo, Lord. How many of you want to do missions? You want to do missions? Then inside, right now, inside of your spirit, there's something that should be resonating right now, saying that the Lord is speaking to me. Because when missions come up, we're going third world countries, we're going to do certain things like that. When that comes up, it should quicken in your spirit. And that's how you know that God has placed that in you so that you desire to go and do it. Amen? Those of you that raise your hands on March 5th, the first Sunday in March. The first Sunday in March, we're having a missionary gentleman that I met on New Year's Eve. He's Evangelist Royal, is his name, Keith Royal. And he's coming. He has two trips already planned this year. He's taking physicians and doctors and volunteers to Belize. And then he has another one that's going to Honduras, Roatan, Honduras. And those are coming up April and I believe in June. So he's coming in March. He's going to share with us. He's going to open that up. So those of you that have that interest to go in missionary fields, I told him, I said, look, I'm not missing this opportunity for our church and the people that have a desire to go. I said, I'm one of those. I want to go everywhere that God has opened a door for me. I want to go. And I said, but if you have a team already, he says, wait a minute. If you have people that want to go, we can make some room. So here's another connection that God has put for the people that have a passion, compassion for people. Amen? So if you desire to do that, be here on March 5th, or the first Sunday in March, so you can hear what he has to offer. Your gift is going to make room for you. That's what God has given you. Your gift will make room for you. Your passion and compassion is based on the gifts that God has bestowed upon you. Not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the gifts that you desire to operate in. He's going to open the doors for you in that area. Amen. Number 6. Listen to the Spirit of God and learn to be quiet to hear from God. Number six, listen to God's spirit and learn how to be quiet to hear God. I've discussed this at times before when you go into prayer. Discussed this also in the prophetic class. Is that when you go into prayer, don't go down your list all the time and just keep praying your list and not let the Spirit of God minister to you. It's like I'm saying I'm going to have a conversation with my wife and I'm the one only doing the talking, but I'm not listening to the response. We have to go in and listen. When we spend time with God, listen to what he has to say. So that means sometimes you just got to shut up. Plain as day. How is God going to speak to you if you're so busy doing all the talking? I don't know about you, but every time that I've gone to ask God something, I learn to be real quiet and don't even pray. I said, Lord, you know my desires. I petitioned you for them. Now I want to know what I need to do on my next step. Give me strategies for the ministry. Tell me what I need to do. And then I shut up. And I listen so that I can hear clearly what he has for me. We can hear his voice because in John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. How are you going to know his voice if you don't listen? You have to listen. You have to go through, and as you're praying and petitioning God, shut up so you can listen. Amen? All right, now we're going to get some text in, Pastor. You shouldn't be saying shut up in church. Hallelujah. Shh. Number seven, you ready? Number seven, listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. If you're seeking after God, if you're dying to yourself daily, if you're seeking to hear from God, you're being quiet in the quiet time with God, he's going to speak to you. But he's also going to place the desires in your heart. Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 37, 4 and 5. He gives you the desires of your heart. Now, does that mean every desire that you have is his desire? No. He places his desire in your heart. You have to seek after that desire. Amen? So if you're dying to yourself in your own will and you want his will, it's easy to find his will and his desires. Number eight. Look at your circumstances. Look at the closed doors and look at the open doors. Look at your circumstances. How many of you know that there's times in your life where you sense it's God, but you're unsure, and you're getting ready to go and do it, and roadblocks just pop up everywhere? Like doors are slamming in your face. I don't understand this. How? I thought this was God. Exactly, you thought. You've got to know. How will you know? Maybe you're not hearing clearly, so you have to look at your circumstances. Look at some things that have patterns in your life that begin to develop as you begin to do some things for God. If a door is closed, then he maybe not want you to do that. Or if doors are opening but you're not going, and then he shuts it, maybe he wants you to knock even more because you're not being obedient. An opportunity for the Lord is for you to walk through because you're the only one that can walk through it. Nobody else can. In Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, and number 6 says, now when they had gone through When they have gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, there they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Verse 10, now after that he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. How many places did God deny them? He denied them three places where they are not supposed to go. And this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was determined to go and minister the word of God, but God shut some doors by the Holy Spirit telling him not to go. Would not permit him. Has God shut some doors in your life that you think that you're trying to push open? Maybe you need to just be still and listen to what God really wants. Because then he'll show you either a dream or a vision. Listen to the dreams and listen to the visions. Because he will show you where you need to go. Amen. I pray that you begin to look over these and study them some more. These are some things that I believe will help you in seeking God's plan for your life. His will, not his acceptable, but his perfect will. His perfect will. What is his perfect will? To do as he's ordered you to do. To seek it out. And once you find it, do it. That's what he wants for us to do. He has in store for us a perfected will and a path that we must walk down. But not everybody can walk down that path with you. And if God is getting some relationships out of the way, don't fight against it. Let him do it. Well, this doesn't sound right. This God wouldn't do that. God will remove people out of your life if it doesn't line up with what he wants for your life. We get upset, we get mad because things feel bad. When relationships have to come to an end, when relationships challenge your joy and your peace, you want God's plan. And you want the relationship that God has given you. The more you hold on to a relationship that is not healthy for you, it's going to hurt you in the end. It'll hurt you in your now, but it'll hurt you in your destiny as well. When God begins to prune away the things that are attached to you, that are just sucking the life out of you, it's never easy. It hurts. But the moment you say yes to the Lord, and you don't turn back to your past, but you look to the window in the east, that there's a new day. Trust and see that he's going to bring to you what you need. Not every relationship is supposed to be a relationship that's going to last. Some of y'all are going to that whole thing about covenant and matrimony. If you've made a covenant in matrimony, and you've been challenged in that matrimony, and you've taken it to God and he's answered you, then that's what you hold on to. But you want to hear God, not hear you. If God's desire for your life is to do great things together with your spouse, but it doesn't look like it right now, then you put that Isaac on the altar. And he's going to send to you in that very hour that you need that ram that is caught up in the thicket, that is caught by the head in the horns that are caught up in the thicket, which represents that whatever was there that was going to fight against the will of God is no longer happening. Will to fight, but it's going to be surrender so that it can become now sacrificial instead of the Isaac that would take its place. See, there are some things that we must do like Abraham did. Abraham didn't understand why God was telling him to put Isaac on the altar and give his son, the very son of promise. But because he obeyed, his obedience began to release some things in the heavenly realm from him. But he continued to go regardless of what was going to happen. But see, when he got to that certain place, to that certain mountain where he was about to make the sacrifice, there was a ram that was already caught up in the thicket. Because God knows exactly the path that he has called for you to be on. But if you're not listening to the Spirit of God, you're not listening to the counsel that God has given you, you're not dying to your selfish ambitions, then you're going to miss the very thing that God has placed before you to give you the substitute for that sacrifice. You've got to trust God in everything that he's telling you to do. Everything. It requires faith like never before. Faith is not easy. But the more you do these steps, the more you do these things, you begin to see a little bit more clearly. You begin to hear a little bit more clearly. You begin to trust a lot more. Not every relationship is the one that God selected. You made some decisions. Let's be truthful. You made decisions. You didn't go before God. You made a decision. But God desires for you to be healthy. Desires for you to be wealthy. He desires for you to be in peace and in joy. Those are his promises. But if you keep choosing to go back to the same old thing, let me remind you, only a dog goes back to its own vomit. If God is telling you to do something, not Pastor Marty, not another prophet, not another minister, but what God is telling you to do, that's what you do. Because God has a plan for your life. So does the enemy. Listen. Seek after his perfected will. So God can reveal his plan for you. Destiny gets discovered along the way. You just got to keep going after it. Dreams don't come to you. You chase them. What God has for you, you got to chase and you got to fight. Some of the greatest battles that you've ever won is just being on your face. He does the rest. You just have to surrender. He'll take care of the influence. He'll take care of the very negative things that have come against you. But you have to surrender your will. Sometimes it's not easy. Truth be told, most of the times it's not easy at all. But let's just trust him in it. Amen. I pray that this blesses you. Some of the relationships, some of the issues, some of the hardships. It's going to help you grow. Learn to hear God. That means when you go before God, just zip it. He knows what you need. He's counted every tear that has fallen. He knows the heartache, and he knows your stress. He says, but if you just take my yoke upon you, my burden is light, it's easy. What you're carrying is too hard. Give it to him. Because he wants to see you be made whole. To get to where you need to be. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would please. Josh is playing.